This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. On June 5th, 1981, a short medical notice was published in Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. That is a journal put out by the U.S. government Centers for Disease Control. The report noted something strange: 5 cases of pneumonia in previously healthy young men in Los Angeles. It was called gay-related immune deficiency, or GRID, as we used to call it in those days, and it turned out to be the first reported cases of AIDS, whose cause was yet unidentified. New cases from New York, San Francisco, other cities began to be reported, and eventually the cause of AIDS was pinned down to a virus, the HIV virus. Well, fast forward 25 years to today, AIDS has moved on from the gay community with a vengeance. An estimated 39 million people worldwide are living with HIV today. A new UN report says that while the epidemic appears to be slowing globally, the number of new infections is rising in certain hotspots. The UN, in session today, is attempting to finalize a plan, a blueprint, for moving forward in the fight against AIDS, but satisfying all the conflicting political, religious, cultural concerns is not an easy one for the UN, never has been, nor is it for all the countries where AIDS is resisting being conquered. This hour, we're going to talk about progress in the fight against AIDS. Are we winning the war, losing it? Are we holding our ground? Which strategies work, which don't work? What are the conflicts here? And we're going to start the hour by talking about the new report on the AIDS epidemic from UNAIDS. That's the Joint United Nations Program on HIV/AIDS. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. Paul DeLay is the Director of Monitoring and Evaluation for UNAIDS, the joint UN program on HIV/AIDS in Geneva. He joins us today by phone from New York. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So can you give us any good news today about what is happening with AIDS around the world?
Well, I think this is probably the first time when we have been able to give good news. The comment that you made that the epidemic seems to be slowing down is probably one of the things that we've not certainly seen in this epidemic since it was first noticed in 25 years ago. What is actually even better news is that the epidemic is leveling off in sub-Saharan Africa, though at rates that would be unacceptable for any country as far as the numbers of people actually living with infection. We're also seeing that some of the targets that were set back in 2001 when 189 countries signed a declaration of commitment, we've actually met some of those targets, which is surprising. Surprising certainly for the UN. We've met the money target. We wanted at least $7 to $10 billion available per year by 2005, and we're right at about $8.3 billion. We wanted countries to have at least 50% coverage of those infected having treatment, and there are 21 countries that actually achieved that. Most countries now screen blood for HIV infection, so the blood supply is reasonably safe throughout the world. Other signs that both prevention and treatment are increasing are all hopeful, and we're starting to see an impact on behaviors and on overall prevalence. In fact, in Africa, there are 6 countries where we are able to measure declines over the last 6 years. So all this is good news.
Now for the other shoe.
And there always is another shoe.
Mm-hmm.
The problem we're having is that the services just aren't getting to enough people in a synchronized, sustainable way. The pieces are in place. The elements of both prevention and treatment are in place. But we're not seeing the synthesis of a program. Some countries are doing extremely well in prevention and not well at all with treatment, and vice versa. And it's that inability to have a comprehensive response that's effective that I think is very, very frustrating. There were a couple of alarming things that came out of this report that UNAIDS released. One was that the knowledge about how to protect yourself from AIDS was abysmal. There's a general assumption that if you live in a country that's been hard hit by AIDS, like Botswana or Zimbabwe, that most people know about it, they know how to protect themselves, they know about the sexual risk, and the infection can be passed from mother to child at time of delivery. What we found was that no country in sub-Saharan Africa did more than 50% of youth were able to answer very basic questions about how one could protect themselves from AIDS. That was extremely discouraging, and it shows that while the programs are there, they're just not doing a good enough job.
Mm-hmm. And is that because there's no coordination in the countries, or the countries are too poor, or what?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, that's the frustrating answer. The money has increased dramatically, and when this declaration was signed back in 2001, the world was spending about $1.5 billion for AIDS in the developing world. We're not examining the higher income countries. We're now spending about $8 billion. So the money is getting out there, but the strategies just are not being put into place. Some of that has to do with just a lack of political commitment. We know what to do. We've got good evidence as far as the types of interventions that actually are effective to delay sexual debut. We're able to monitor, for instance, how much of the population has sex before the age of 15. And we're seeing throughout Africa that there are some impact, and we are seeing delayed sexual debut because of programs. But it doesn't seem to be sustained. And the problem mm-hmm. with AIDS is you have to do the same programs generation after generation after generation as each group of young people move into sexual maturity. And there's this complacency that that seems to erode AIDS programs. And it's happening in high-income countries like the United States and throughout Europe, too, where if you let up, if you let down your guard and you don't pay as much attention to this epidemic, within 2 or 3 years, the infections start to creep up. One more thing that we're seeing that is disturbing and we don't completely understand is we now, in fact, for the last 12 years, have had a very cheap and simple way to protect a newborn infant from becoming infected. It costs about $1. It's essentially a dose of medicine for the mother when she delivers her baby and a dose of the medicine for the baby within 48 hours of being born. These studies were released and this knowledge became well known, we naturally assumed that this would be a service that we could provide all over the world far more easily than providing treatment. And that has not been the case. In fact, many countries have done better offering treatment than they have offering this very simple mother-to-child intervention. And there's a lot of different theories about this. The biggest is stigma. Stigma is still a huge part of why we're not doing very well with this epidemic. And people don't want to be tested. Pregnant women don't want to be tested. They don't want to know. If they are infected, they definitely don't want their family, their husbands to know. And because the testing doesn't take place, then the infant doesn't get the drug, and we have another infant with HIV infection.
Mm-hmm. Quoting Peter Piot, who said this week that 2005 was the least bad year in the history of the AIDS epidemic, you would say that that's mixed news then. I mean, it's the least bad year, but we still have a long way to go.
Right, but we have the elements in place. I mean, as I've said, we know what to do. The meeting that I'm attending that's happening right downstairs at the General Assembly is reviewing this data and making a series of commitments for the next 5 years. In fact, for the next 3 years, setting targets for the year 2008 and 2011. So there is a momentum, and I think the fact that we're starting to see these positive glimmers will increase that momentum. And again, this is we need to change the way we're dealing with the epidemic. It's always been seen as an urgent, very crisis-oriented, we're waging a war, we don't have time to stop and maybe do it more with more quality or more intensively. We're making a transition from that. We're going to be with this disease for the next 50 to 100 years, and we need to act appropriately, and that is to start looking at predictable ways of providing funding, look at setting in place strategies that will work in the long term, and coordinating better both the international partners who provide the money with the people in countries who are actually doing the work.
Mm-hmm. So you look at it as a long-term problem. It's not something you can fix very quickly.
No, and you know, this will, it's a disease that it's only 25 years old, so we're still learning about it. And, you know, like the recent experiences we have with avian flu, there is justified alarm about how serious is this going to get. Mm-hmm. The Ebola virus, when it was first being discovered, how serious is this going to get? AIDS is really the first new virus in the last two centuries where it fulfilled all of our worst fears. It became our worst nightmare. And we're still trying to understand it. But it now is, in the medical world, we call a disease that becomes part of the normal exposure and an endemic, like malaria, like tuberculosis.
Yeah.
AIDS is becoming endemic, and it's having impacts on other diseases. The TB and malaria epidemics in sub-Saharan Africa are now exploding themselves because of AIDS. So we're seeing mm-hmm. this cascade of different communicable diseases. But
Dr.
we have to treat this like a chronic disease, definitely.
Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Dr. Paul Delay, Director of Monitoring and Evaluation for UNAIDS, and talking with us from New York. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk lots more about the AIDS 25th anniversary. Stay with us. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.